right, y'all, get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. This is one of your hosts, Mr. David Coker, proprietor of Dave Mark Inc., promoter, event planner, marketing specialist. You name it, a little bit of everything. You know, I do a little bit of everything. I ain't gonna keep blowing my own horn. I let Leonard do that. Anyway, I'm also a great guy. I'm not gonna be a good guy today. I'm gonna be a great guy today. I'm hanging out with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. What's going on, sir?
Hey, Dave. Everything's good. I'm definitely not going to toot your horn. I'll tell you that. That definitely. But everything is good. This is Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guy, DelawareBlack.com, black media specialist, all around good guy. How's it going, David?
Oh, man, it's good, man. It's good. I can't complain. Made it through another weekend, getting, you know, looking forward to this weekend. We got Easter weekend coming up, right?
Yeah,
that's right. This is Easter this week, right?
Yeah.
So,
somebody don't go to church, huh?
Okay.
You don't know which week in Easter?
But that's right. But anyway, so this weekend we got, well, the only reason it stands out big to me because we get Friday off. You know, Good Friday is, you know, a holiday for us. So, I'm good with that, you know. But here we are. We made it to another week, and I don't know. Did you do anything exciting over the weekend, man?
Yeah, I was morning, noon, and night, Saturday and Sunday. I was at swim meets for my son.
Oh yeah, that's right. I saw you
all day.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, between you, your son swimming, and you doing these triathlons, you know, and trying to relive your past glory, you know, you know, you and our guests got a lot in common when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I'm going to live through you guys. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live through you guys. So,
no, Dave, join us. You got to join us.
No, I'm too old for that, man. I can't, you know, you guys would be, you know, you have to keep resuscitators nearby all the time, man, you know.
Okay.
And they have to look a certain way.
Okay. We can do that.
Okay. There you go. All right. But so you were at swim meets all weekend and getting ready for, and then you're getting ready for the Olympics this summer, right?
Yes. What, to watch on TV, like all the other spectators.
Okay. All right. Well, we both are looking forward to the Olympics. So, you know, you can tell that time is coming around. You're seeing all the commercials and everything. So look forward to that. So,
well Dave, it's funny you mentioned the Olympics because there are a couple of new sports that I kind of had to, turn my eye at. The one of them my daughter told me about. Do you know that breakdancing is one of the new sports in this year's Olympics?
No. I didn't know.
Yes.
Is it going to be shown on TV?
I mean, I'm sure they'll probably show portions of it. I don't know if it'll get prime time.
All right. And what else?
In fact, let me look real quick. I know breakdancing right off the hand. And then some of them were sports that we don't really play in America. But let me just take a look real quick.
Breakdancing. Wow. Okay. I can see that because all the countries, man, they all do it. So yeah, that's crazy.
Yep. Some of the other events are surfing, skateboarding, and sport climbing.
But they did skateboarding in the Olympics, or maybe I'm thinking. Yeah, I thought they did that in the Olympics.
So what I also read is that some years they take some events out. For instance, I think I saw breakdancing, even though it's in 2024, it will not be in the Los Angeles Olympics, which is weird because, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of breakdancing.
You would think it would be there. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, be interesting if they put that on TV. I'll definitely check it out because I want to see how they're going to handle that. That would be cool. Okay. Well, the Olympics. I'm living and dying for the track and field, and the swimming, and even the gymnastics. The gymnastics. We probably have to be well represented this year with the gymnastics as far as people of color.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully so. But okay, cool. All right. Well, I guess. And I just want to say, a special, I guess acknowledge what happened earlier today with the bridge down in Baltimore, outside of Baltimore there. We're hoping that, that we don't have too many fatalities or anything down there, because I know they were still trying to pull people out of the water, right? From this morning, right?
Yes, so I didn't hear too much about it because I didn't have access. Did they say how many people may have died?
Well, at the time this morning, they didn't say how many people might have had died, but I know they said that they were definitely trying to get people out of the water. That's what they were trying to do. So, because, something like that happens, man. You know, it's just like,
yeah.
You say to yourself, you can't even imagine something like one of our listeners, Charlamagne, you heard me talk about it. She sent me a note today and said that her granddaughter had just crossed that bridge 10 minutes before it happened.
It's terrifying. Can you imagine being on the bridge and seeing the ship like coming at your direction and, fast pace? It's crazy.
Always think about that with the bridges in Wilmington, Third Street Bridge and so forth, because sometimes those tall ships be going under and the bridge don't open. Seems like it doesn't open fast enough for me, so that's a whole other story. So, but, special prayers out to those folks down there, and, hopefully, they're able to get that, get everything done down there that they need to get done. So hopefully. All right. Well, folks, we have a guest on with us today, and we're fortunate enough to get this person because he's so busy. We've been trying to plan this for about a year now. So but we finally got him. We finally caught up with him. Leonard, why don't you do the honors and tell us who we have today?
Yep. Today we have Thomas Lamont McLean. He's been playing guitar for over 35 years. He has taken music courses at Overbrook High School and St. Joseph University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He has played in several Philadelphia local bands through the 80s, 90s, and turned to music and video production commercialized during the 90s and early 2000s, which resulted in other production credits, jingles. He has also produced for WDAS and Power 99 in Philadelphia, and Power 104.7 in Baltimore. He returned to live performance in 2009 as the co-founder, lead guitarist, and music director of the award-winning Wilmington-based band Best Kept Soul. Also, playing a lead guitar role for Eric Roberson, Carol Riddick, LeVert II, Naja Nicole, known from The Voice, as well as open for Drew Hill, Kelly Price, Kiki Wyatt, Little Mo, and many other major acts. He's also co-producer of the recently released EP, My Day, by Best Kept Soul, and is often called on to fill in for some of the area's most high-profile wedding bands. So without further ado, friend to the show, we'd like to welcome Thomas Lamont McLean. How you doing, Tom?
That's a good one. That's so funny. Listen to that verbatim. I was like, I did all that stuff?
I was like, who's this guy? That's what I was thinking.
Say, especially when I got to the Eric Roberson, Carol Riddick, LeVert, Naja, Drew Hill, Kelly Price, Kiki Wyatt, Little Mo.
I was thinking, how old is this dude? guy me. He got to be, right? Anyway, we really appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us today, sir. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thanks for even considering me for being on here. Like, who talks to me?
Oh yeah.
I'm just usually the guy in the background, like, you know. People say that they can't talk to because I'm like a meme or something like that.
That's too funny. But that is, I can see why you feel that way. You know, because you definitely have some personalities that you're always around all the time. So you definitely do. So, all right. I guess we're going to start out asking a few questions. Leonard usually is the person like to take the lead with the questions. So go ahead, Leonard.
Well, I mean, usually they say the boss goes first or the leader goes first.
Now I'm the boss. Now I'm the boss. Okay. All right.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Lamont, so, you know, definitely welcome to the show. We're glad to have you on. And I'm sure Dave will kind of talk about, you know, his relationship with you. But, you know, of course, and Dave, I don't even know if you know, because I didn't know you then, and we probably never talked about. I met Lamont actually when I was just starting DelawareBlack.com. I met Lamont. He, Charlie, and Rob were doing commercialized,
right?
You know, bit video
and stuff. Yeah.
And Dave, you probably don't know. We met, and Lamont, you probably remember the Rose Group. You remember?
Yes, that's exactly what I remember meeting through and connecting with Hope and Miss M. And, like, you know, doing things like getting business plans together, and that was like a really cool and crucial time. Like, you know, as far as, like, you know, getting to this thing and taking it seriously. You know, I mean, as far as, like, you know, just thinking about doing stuff before you actually do it. You know,
So long story short, Dave, Hope Rose. Basically, she assembled some of her friends and people she know who were in business. And I think we met maybe once a month and we kind of networked. And, like, that's how I really got to know, you know, Lamont and, you know, the commercialized people. And, of course, I think that was before, or I guess it was maybe shortly before Best Kept Soul. I'm looking at the 2009 date. But Lamont, so here, you know, of course, we're looking at your history and, you know, starting at Overbrook High School. When you were in high school, you know, at that time, was it kind of like a love for music, a passion for music? Or, and I only say because I think my freshman, sophomore year, I played the trombone, but, you know, I was just doing it because I had to. So can you kind of speak to us about how, you know, your love for music or, you know, your acclimation to music kind of came about?
Yeah, so that came about way beyond that. Like, I was always around music being played at the house between my mother and most of my older brother. You know, just playing, like, you know, Temptations, Delphonics, Mad Lads, you know, stuff like that. As I got older, you know, I started getting into listening to music. You know, I started, like, you know, trying to figure out why do people like certain songs? Why do certain songs become hits? And I was looking at the writers and the writer credits and things like that. So in my mind, I wanted to become like a songwriter, producer. This is even before I picked up an instrument. Then what happened when I got to high school, you know, I decided, hey, let me go ahead and, you know, learn an instrument. I started hanging around, you know, again, just, you know, music credits. By that time, I was in Debussy and, you know, Brothers Johnson and things like that. So I had a friend down the street who played, he didn't really play, but he had a bass guitar. He messed around with it. We liked funk and everything like that. So I said, hey, I want to learn how to play bass guitar. I mentioned to my mom, you know, she was still buying me Christmas gifts at the time. So she wound up getting me a lead guitar and lessons. So she didn't realize that I wanted a bass guitar, not a lead guitar. But, you know, I went with it. And so, like, towards the end of high school, I started taking lessons. I didn't really play much in high school. I was part of a jazz band for a little while, but I was still in a learning phase, so I didn't really keep up. But what I did get a chance to do was take some music theory classes and learn how to, like, you know, start composing things and all that. So my whole drive was to create music through, again, like, the stuff that I grew up on, to try to create music and create those, you know, memories and feelings that those songs exude from people. So that's kind of how I started there. And then once I got out of high school, I met with some guys while I was in college, neighborhood guys. And, you know, we started, you know, various different bands and, you know, just messing around the neighborhood, doing little gigs here and there. And everybody, by that time, everybody was into Prince and Rick James and wanted to be those guys and wanted to be multi-instrumentalists and all. And so that's kind of how like the early stages kind of developed for me music-wise.
Got you. Now, do you remember your first band, I guess, gig? Can you kind of tell us about, like, well, first tell us about the band, some of the people who were in it, and then do you remember your first performance with that group?
Oh, man, I remember it vividly. So we were in a band that had, I think we did have a keyboard player, but it was like two guitar players, a bass player, drummer. We had a lead singer who, again, was, you know, kind of on the Prince thing. So he had the tight clothes on. And we'd be down in the basement rehearsing in Winfield section of Pennsylvania. And I remember our first gig specifically, we played, I was going to St. George University, which is right up the street from there. And so we played in the theater. He had like a little small theater, you know, a theater that was kind of made for like, doing acting and drama and all that. So
right. We
went in there with amps and, you know, all this big sound system, and we cranked it up and we just scared the we just had it cranked up. We were in there playing Prince and, you know, just, you know, funk and, you know, Angels of Centerfold, you know, just, you know, stuff that we were kind of into it on that day. So I remember that it was fun, but all we cared was that we were just making music at the time.
Right. Did y'all have an audience? Was there like a big
audience? It was an audience. Oh, okay. I think it was probably like a talent show, if I recall.
Okay.
Might have even been like a Black History Month talent show or something like that. So we just went in there, did our thing. And, you know, whether the audience were there or not, man, we were just getting there. You know, we just knew that we were playing, that we were like playing on a stage in front of people. Mm-hmm. And we were doing what we loved.
Now, do you remember how you, like, would y'all say y'all did a good job? Did y'all win the talent show?
We play so loud that I don't know if anybody could decipher what we were
right.
doing.
Got you.
At that point, it was more like, you know, how it made you feel. You know, like, you know, you just knew it for yourself. You went in there, you killed it. You know what I mean? So, but no, that started that. And then we started getting a little gigs here and there around town. I remember we did something at a middle school that was not too far in the Winfield area. And I remember us going in there. And again, we were doing some cool songs and everything. I don't know if we necessarily were doing the best job, but all we knew is that we had a bunch of middle school kids that were just like chasing us around the school, like the Beatles and stuff like that, and
right.
crying. Like we had like kids crying. Like,
oh, wow.
Again, wow. We were just playing music, and, you know, I guess they would just have to see a band that looked like them and all that. That's kind of like built in you that desire to kind of like, oh, cool, I'm going to do this. I want to do this music thing. I want to, you know, make people feel like this and get people that rise. So, yeah, that started early on. So, kind of, you know, luckily I was around people who dug music, who I still have some friends today that, you know, through experiences and everything like that we got that tied through music and everything like that. So,
right, definitely. And I guess for the people who may not be familiar, you know, probably Dave included, can you kind of break down the, maybe some of the typical, and I won't say members of a band, but the, so kind of like how you'll have like guitarist, lead singer, mm-hmm. and specifically, because my question always, what is the difference between bass and a guitarist?
So of course, drums, you know, everybody's familiar with the drums,
right?
The groove and everything like that. The drums are kind of aligned with the bass guitar because it gives you that bottom feel. And Dave's mm-hmm. a bass guitar player, so he
knows that. Yeah. So
that. Hold on. Dave's a what?
Oh, didn't know that Dave's a bass guitar
player. No, I did.
Now,
yes, you did. I told you that years ago.
No, you did.
No. I did. Your brain.
I do listen.
Take that cap off. You don't know
yes, what
you're talking about. But anyway, go ahead, Lamont. Let him speak. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead, Lamont.
So the bass and drums work together to kind of give the song the drive. You know what I mean? Like everything from the tempo to the feel, the rhythm, to the style of the music. A lead guitar player, which is what I play, is kind of more melodic. Acoustic guitar, you hear that all the time, right? So it kind of, you know, it's kind of like the, it could be it could be melodic and set the melody and the tone for the song as far as the feel for the singer to sing over. Or it could be like a lead instrument that's out there just like, you know, rocking it out like Prince or Jimi Hendrix. Then of course you have keyboards, which, you know, kind of gives it like a really same thing as far as like, you know, giving the melody and everything like that, but just making the song wide and adding, you know, just like, you know, sounds and fills and things like that. So, so usually for the most part, the bands that I've been a part of have been comprised of those four pieces. In some cases I've been in bands that had two guitars, a bass player, drums, because keyboard players sometimes are, you know, are hard to find or good ones. Dave, you'll get a kick out of this. I was in one band that actually had two bass players. We decided to experiment really? With two bass players. So we kind of had like a bass player that was a lead and one that was rhythm. So the purpose of it was to have like that one bass player to kind of help the pocket down. And the other bass player was kind of like more of a guy who popped and everything like that. You know, that was one of those things that we were just trying and we were just doing our own thing. We, you know, had fun with it and people didn't necessarily, some people would look at it strange, like I have two bass players, but we made it work. It was a fun experience, you know, just experiment with something new. So, but yeah, those are basically the four essential. You'll see a lot of bands that, of course, there's horn sections and percussion and, you know, depending on the size and depending on your budget that you're going to work with. So,
yeah, that's okay, the budget. Yeah. You know, so you want to add all those extra pieces there. So,
all right. Go ahead, Leonard. And so, of course, Best Kept Soul was founded in 2009. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, I guess, founding that group, you know, how you kind of connected those people? Because I guess a lot of time when I think about bands, I almost think of them like businesses where, you know, a lot of businesses don't make it 5 years. And, you know, of course, that means that this year is your 15th anniversary of Best Kept Soul. And, you know, and I remember when Best Kept Soul 2009, they were top of the charts in, you know, this area. And still in 2024, they're top of the charts in this area. So it's like, you know, how do you, I mean, of course, with assembling the right people, how do you kind of, you know, stay on top all these years?
Well, I tell you one thing, 2009 was our first year. So we were just kind of getting things off the ground. But referring back to like the stuff that I was doing beforehand with Commercialize and, you know, like the Rose Group and everything like that, that was kind of like stuff that we was doing Commercialize. Like we would go out and, you know, do events, but we also had like a mailing list that we put together that we would send out to people to let people know, hey, you know, just do broadcast. Because Commercialize, if anybody, obviously people probably don't know, it was just like a little advertisement. We were creating content or going out and recording talent shows, comedy shows, but then we would also have advertisers. So our idea was to sell, you know, commercials or advertisement spots for small businesses, focus on small businesses. And then they would have the content of the, you know, different performances and different auto shows and everything to kind of fill in that. So one of the things we did, again, was like to have a mailing list that we created to send out to people and say, hey, our next show, we actually had a channel on Channel 28 on Comcast too. So we would let people know, hey, the next episode is coming up. So we kind of build the mailing list from that. What happened is that, like I said, we would also do like talent shows. And as I got more around the talent shows, I got that urge to play again, you know, being around musicians and everything like that. So through that, I wound up hooking up with people. Cynthia Tyree had a talent show called Front Stage Fridays. Daryl Boogie Howard. He was a bass player, but he was also her assistant. I linked up with him. You know, we started talking about different people that we knew that might want to be a part of the band. And so, you know, by time in 2008, you know, it was kind of like, we were throwing ideals around. Come 2009, we kind of had like some pieces and everything in place. We said, hey, let's go ahead and find some opportunities. Leonard, you and I had worked for Commercialize on doing recording for your Delaware Black Awards show,
right,
in 2008. So I think that year, you know, Commercialize was doing the recording, and during 2008 and going into 2009 is when the band started coming together. And I think either I or Boogie had approached me about, hey, you know, can can you use the band? You invited us to come out. We out in the lobby area. We played. Right. We had some good pieces in place. And it just gave us exposure. People were like, oh, there's a band. There's like another band. Like that, we were still, Roddy Coattails of, people like Tracy A and To The Max and Brian Parr and G2 and everything like that. So we started getting a little following there. We started getting little gigs near, and after that, and then, come 2000, I guess by that time it was 2010, the awards ceremony came around and we were able to get ourselves nominated and through social media and just association and kind of being present, we were lucky and blessed enough to have won the award for the band, best band, for the, Delaware Black the following year. And that was just good exposure and, just exposed us to a lot of people and businesses and, little small gigs started coming here and there. In the meantime, like you said, as far as getting pieces in place, we had a rotation of, vocalists and everything like that. City, a lot of people know City as a local singer, musician. We used him at one point. We had Phil Joseph in there. Then we locked in with Daryl, Boogie's wife, Zukaira. And then we came across Ann, Latrice. Daryl brought her to a rehearsal. And we're like, she's a karaoke singer. But she brought in a whole lot of just a lot of, I guess by being a karaoke singer, she brought in a lot of background as far as different songs that she liked to do, different artists and everything that she covered. So, by the end of 2010, we kind of started finding the right pieces. Joe Shields on drums. We had a couple of different keyboard players, but, we were kind of cohesive enough to be able to start doing, events and start getting a little name for ourselves. And like I said, the awards ceremony, was a big boost to us as well. And so, like you said, I think that's the main thing is just getting the right pieces and taking the time and being patient, and making sure you get the right personalities to work with you. I like to always think in terms of like building around the talent that you have. So, we were lucky enough to have, Anne is a good singer. City is a good singer performer. Shakira is a good, supporting vocalist. You kind of use those pieces to kind of create your identity. We just kind of been smart about that. And then at the same time, still using some of the business acumen as far as having a mailing list and letting people know where we're going to be at. And, trying to do a decent job of marketing ourselves and, the video. So I was already doing video and I had access to people. Right. Who have equipment. So we were able to do, recordings of ourselves, kind of help with promotion and things like that, just getting websites up and stuff like that. So, just taking all those pieces. So it wasn't just the band itself, which of course, you got to have the right pieces and talent in place, but just making sure we're doing the right things as far as how we conduct ourselves and, where we decided to play at, people, different people knowing different people. David, different times has helped us and he had, good connections that he put us in touch with as well. To get us into certain places and certain venues and connect with certain people. So it's been obviously, a mix of talent, just being smart about the decisions we make about where to play, who to play with, who to deal with, and just grind, just straight on our grind. I mean, we didn't always, we couldn't go out there and demand, some of the money that, some of the other bands were that we wanted. But we took the smaller opportunities and used those to kind of build into large opportunities and better visibility for us. And so we just kind of been rolling on that, using that kind of same mindset for the past 15 years.
Gotcha. And then my last question, then I'll let my partner Dave, because I'm sure he got some questions as well. So of all the people you work with, such as Eric Robeson, Carol Riddick, LaVert Two, who has been your favorite performer to work with?
Wow. Now it's like Carol Riddick and Eric Robeson. Some of those guys were kind of one-offs. Out external to the band, I guess anybody working with, I think Eric Robeson was pretty dope. We actually worked with him on a couple of occasions. Musically, his music is all, it's really cool and different and eclectic at times. And Jin did his just performance. I mean, he, you know, he just doesn't go out and sing. He performs. He has fun with people. You know, fun with people. He interacts.
Right.
I actually hadn't even done like doing commercial lines, which is kind of funny. He had actually interviewed Eric Robeson like years before. I had a chance to play with him. You know, I just want to humble. We were just kind of looking for different things, and he was playing for New Year's Eve at the Philly Live. You know, I had a chance to interview him and him talking about music and theory and things like that. And so, yeah, I've run into him, you know, a few times over the years. So he's been a pretty dope guy to work with, really down to earth cat. Fun, you know, really, you know, good as far as like improvising and things like that. So that would be my guy.
Yeah, he's real down to earth. He's real cool. I've seen him a couple times, and his show is really, really cool. I mean, he gives you that, you know, he's a perfect artist for like that small room setting where people would really appreciate him and everything.
Yep.
And he, you know, he relates well with the audience, and, yes. And you know, he just has everybody having a good time, and he's funny. He's funny too. So yeah. So, but all right. It's funny, as you guys were talking just then, I was sitting here thinking back to when you guys did do that first Delaware Black Awards. That is too funny that I think back to what happened that day for me, because not knowing Leonard at that time, not knowing you guys at that time, you know.
Stalker alert.
You know what? I chose the reason I was there at that award show because I was there representing the Full Effect band. So I was there because they had gotten nominated for Best Band. And that year, To the Max won that particular year. So I was there with Full Effect because I had been doing some work with them. And they had gotten nominated. So, you know, I remember going through the lobby and I'm looking at this band play. And at the time, Philip Joseph and Tim and was playing keyboards at the time. And I'm looking at this band. I'm like, who's this band? And I'm saying, you know, they're pretty good. You know, I'm just checking them out, you know. And it was because of that particular award show that I met Leonard too at that particular. That's when I actually met him. He said stalker because I made an attempt to try to actually introduce myself to him that night. It didn't happen. But a few days later,
yes, people holding you off. Yes, people holding you off.
Yeah. Well, a few days later, we were down. I ended up at that. Remember the restaurant bar of Sweet Tea's that was down over Kirkwood Highway.
Mm-hmm.
I go down to Sweet Tea's, and sitting at the bar is Leonard. And so I introduced myself
that night. Stalker.
He likes to say that because he always says that. Because we have, you know, we. Of course, known each other ever since, you know, but that I was thinking about how, as y'all were talking, I was just thinking about that particular period of time. But as far as bands go, and as far as having that ear, you had being around music myself and so forth, and being in bands in the past myself, I know that you have to have a certain ear for music in order to be able to do what you do as a musical director as far as Best Kept Soul and some of the other projects that you've worked on. What helps you with being able to stay in the pocket as far as, you know, being able to get the right songs and to get the right mix and to get the with cover bands, you know, the key is trying to sound like the song. But not necessarily doing the song 100% to that particular song, if you follow what I'm saying.
Oh, no, so, I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you do that? How do you keep it real, but keep it Best Kept Soul way or whatever project you're working on?
So what I've come to learn is that I work best. I like working with people who actually are into the songs. Like, all right. So I've been around wedding bands, and you know, wedding bands are sometimes asked to play songs that they don't necessarily like or they don't necessarily do. But you have requests to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, wedding people, some wedding people, some wedding parties will ask you for. They'll give you a specific list of songs to do.
Yeah, with Jimmy Buffett, or something like that.
Right. we're lucky in that, you know, people hire us most of the time because of us. They just like what we do. But the things that we do are songs that Dwayne is one of our lead singers, of course, or back in the city, that they do comfortably, that they do authentically. So it's not like they're trying to, you know, like they grew up on these songs. They grew up listening to these songs. They grew up singing these songs and everything like that. So they're authentic. So that's one thing. We always have always, you know, asked, you know, hey, bring to the table songs you like to do, right? So that makes it easier. So you're not reading words. You're singing the song as though the song is yours. We have a core, like I think I've told a couple people on a couple occasions that, like our core music, I think is probably like, we're probably about 60-70%, like 90s or early 2000s, that type of vibe and everything like that. But it's cool because right now our niche is like, you know, our audience, the people that hire us and everything like that, they're the ones that are having 40th, 50th, 60th birthday parties and everything like that. So they grew up on those songs. So it's not like we're not stretching to do songs that we don't typically do. So that makes it the easy part. The other part is that we actually have some decent musicians. Like we don't like you were saying earlier, like there's a balance sometimes between trying to do the songs exactly like they're done, which maybe if it was just up to me, I would do that. But we don't necessarily do that because everybody kind of has their own flavor they bring to the song. So I think that makes it unique. We like to mix songs up. We like to do transitions and everything like that. So, you know, we don't necessarily sit there and, you know, count off a song like 1, 2, 3, like it sounds on a record. You know, we'll sometimes flow in the songs because I'll see like people dancing to a certain groove or whatever, and we'll transition to the next song and keep them in that groove. Like they'll, before they even know it, they're in the next song. You know what I mean? So, so we do things like that. We're not too by the book. But obviously, like I said, because of the fact that these people sing these songs, they grew up and sing these songs, they still bring the authenticity of singing a song like, you know, you're used to hearing it. You know, mixed in with what we kind of bring it as our own little different flavor to the song, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense because it's nothing like being in a room full of people and you're listening to a band and nobody is moved by what's being played because you know, one thing that people will do automatically, oh man, that don't sound like the song, you know, that sounds like, you know, and people are critical that way because that's the way they want to hear, they want to know as soon as you hit the first few notes,
right?
They want to know what that song is,
right?
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
You know, there's certain, before I let go, the first couple right. notes, you know,
hit the intro.
Like it better
right.
sound like it. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
You hit the intro right. And it's, yeah.
You don't get that intro right, it's done. You know, people are like, oh man, they didn't do that right at all. They didn't do that
So we get, luckily we got a mix of that. We keep a mix of like, you know, keep the song authentic, but you know, adding our own little flavor. And one of the things that I get a kick out of that I've heard over the years, and I think remember the first time I heard it was at Shades of Blue, if you guys remember that, on Governor Prince Boulevard.
Yeah.
And we were just doing a typical Thursday night day. They had bands, you know, Thursday night. And we were just doing our thing. And like I said, we kind of like do transitions. We keep the song moving and everything. We keep the flow going. And I remember one time hearing somebody saying, wow, I feel like I'm at a concert. And that was to me, that was like so humbling and it felt so like gratifying that somebody just sitting at a bar, you know, we are in there just, you know, doing our Thursday night thing, trying to get our grind on. And somebody felt that, you know, we brought the concert experience to them. You know what I mean? So it's just like little takeaways like that, that I get a kick out of that, you know, that helps me know that we're doing the right thing.
Well, it's funny that you just said what you just said, because kind of takes me back in thinking about, you know, and shout out to Miss Cynthia Tyre there, or Tyree, whatever day she she goes by. You know, she changes it up every now and then. You know, that's our buddy for it. So, you know, but going back to the Blue Parrot and all the stuff that was going on at the Blue Parrot. Now, this is the kind of stuff that we miss now. We don't really have anymore. You know, a lot of the venues that we used to go to that we can hear live music on a regular basis are not there anymore, the traditional spots. That Blue Parrot, Leonard, did you ever go over there to the Blue Parrot when they used to have, when Cynthia had the Sunday thing over there?
Yes, all the
musicians
time.
Musicians in and out of there every Sunday. And you could sit there and just veg out on music, man. And then what was so cool was watching the musicians come in and play with other musicians that they normally don't play with. You know what I mean? You guys would get up there and somebody would be up, you know, you might start out with Best Kept Soul, but by the end you might have like three or four pieces from other bands join in with you guys playing different, you know, playing the instruments, whatever. I remember the first time I ever saw Joe Shields. Joe Shields got up to play drums and he said, "You know the drum set is backwards, right?" He turned, all of a sudden he started changing everything around, and then he said, "Okay, I'm ready to play now." You know, so I never forget
he's
that.
He's got his own setup. You guys have a unique setup.
Yeah, you know he's unique. You know, he's gonna set everything up. So, you know, but that's something that we don't have anymore. But for you guys to stay as relevant as you have, I mean, you know, you guys are bigger than ever right now. You just did the Soul Train cruise, right?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
How did that go? Tell us about that.
It was, and that's funny. I got to include that for the next
in the bio.
Oh man, that was probably one of the more dope experiences I've had. I mean, for one, like year round, you know, bands like War, Average White Band, Rolls Royce, Brick. I grew up on it. You know, like it was like
So
the funny thing about that is we didn't play until like the third day of the trip. So you had kind of had to
really? It was 3 days in before y'all played?
Yeah, because you know they had like certain days they were signed. So we played like 4 days straight. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right. So but the first couple of days we kind of sat at Saturday, Sunday. You know, we kind of had a chance today, but so it was like you kind of like were building up. It was, you know, like you're ready to go into the game, you're ready to go into the fight, you're like you ready to go to, you know? But we had to kind of sit there, wait our turn and everything like that. But when we did, you know, we did our thing. But in the meantime, I had a chance to, like I said, see some of these great bands and everything that I grew up on, you know, Stephanie Mills, it was like, I mean, talent galore. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, there's a couple of bands I'm like, kind of left them off, but no, I mean, they just didn't have like the right pieces or enough of the original pieces to kind of like bring you to that feel. Because now that's when you're talking about like, you know, wanting to hear a song, you know, be like how it was. That's, you know, we're doing a cover song, you know, we're none of these songs are ours, we just doing our take. That's why we're a cover band, we cover the songs. But you know, when you hear I don't want to say a particular band, but you know, you don't want to hear the singer singing like he's singing you know, something from today and riffing all over the place or something like that. You want to hear the song, you know. But no, overall it was a great experience. I mean, we got great feedback. You know, they invited us back for next year, so I guess we did okay. And you know, I mean, it was always music, you know. I mean, it was like from like about 10 o'clock until, you know, at night, you know, you always had like some band playing, you know, whether it be a big band or, you know, whether it be like one of the name bands or whether, you know, like one of the, you know, side acts like us or whatever. It was always something going on. You know, the people were there to party. So it's like, you know, sometimes we have events where, you kind of had to get people warmed up and get people going. Now these people came there, they knew they were going to be around a bunch of music and bands, live bands. And so they were ready to go from jump. You know what I mean? So it didn't, you know, it was like you just had like a nice, receiving audience that was just ready to kind of, you know, enjoy and have a good time. And, you know, just being around positive people there, no drama. You know, of course, people, you know, some people kind of drank a little bit too much. But, you know, outside of that, man, it was just a really great experience. You know, had a chance to see some of these groups that, you know, I probably wouldn't have had a chance to otherwise to be able to see, because, you know, you know, like Rolls Royce, like I know they tour here and there, but you know, had the chance to see them all in one venue, one location, everything was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, that's awesome, man. I can only imagine, you know, doing, you know, especially being a musician all your life and then get to hang out like that with other musicians that you idolize and, you know, listen to their music. You know, hey, I have your record in my, record back in the day, you know, so.
And one cool thing about us being there too, because you know, like I said, a lot of stuff is a little bit older, and like I said, our core is probably like '90s. So we did have one show where we did like "Going But Not Forgot," so we played like you know some Natalie Cole, we played you know like our artists who passed. But I think people like that we brought a little slight change of pace because it wasn't necessarily just you know the all old school stuff. We brought some of the, you know we did a hip hop day, you know what I mean? So like people were tripping off of that we were doing hip hop. There was no hip hop artists on there, so we were doing you know hip hop and Dwayne is rapping and everything. And that's what's also cool about us is that we had that versatility to kind of like you know they can sing their butts off, but then they can also you know go ahead and do some Lil Kim and some Jay-Z.
Right.
You know, so you got a nice. I mean, as our name states, Best Kept Soul. We cover the range of soul. You know, whether it be you know old school to you know '90s to hip hop. You know, what I mean, we you know luckily have the catalog of music to choose from. I mean, obviously it's not our song, but it's, we can cover those songs so that we kind of take people to different spaces and different times. You know, in soul music.
Yeah. All right. Well, that leads me into my last question, and which would be this. With everything being said, and with every, you know, because I know you guys are planning I heard you guys are planning a reunion of Best Kept Soul later on this year, right?
It's definitely going to be a 15-year anniversary. You know, it's going to be anybody that's listening. Trust me, you'll know about it. You'll hear about it. But everybody that's been part of the band or has seen the band have an opportunity. We're working on a couple of different large venues right now that we can kind of get that in. So that'll be in November. That's definitely going to be something that's going to be looking forward
to. That should be awesome. I saw that. So there's only one thing left to do right now. Is write an original album, man. Y'all thinking about doing something like that?
Yeah, we wrote a partial. We had did some covers and some originals. Challenge there is that you got six individuals with six different lives going on. We're already together every weekend. I mean, literally every weekend. We're doing gigs. You know, so trying to schedule that, different, you know, everybody kind of has different feel, different vibes and everything like that. Like, that's my ultimate thing to be able to, you know, do a original, whether it be with Best Kept Soul or otherwise. I'm working with somebody right now that I'm doing some, you know, some original stuff on the side and everything like that. Because as I mentioned in the beginning, like my entry or my journey into music heavily was, you know, through wanting to do songs that, you know, again, you know, make people feel a certain way and make people respond and react a certain way and everything like that. So obviously, you know, we get a chance to do it the Best Kept Soul by covering them. But I ultimately want to be able to have, you know, my own voice, our own voice, to express, you know, our musical thoughts, ideals and talents and everything like that. So, you know, we'll keep forging ahead and see if we find that opportunity to do it, and the desire and getting everybody going in the same direction. So hopefully that'll be coming down at some point. But like I said, you know, if nothing else, you know, we're always, you know, be bringing you guys something new, you know, whether it be covers or whether it be, you know, originals, but, you know, we're always going to try to bring, you know, something different, you know, than what other groups are doing. So, cross my fingers that'll happen at some point.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll definitely be looking for something like that. I know, you know, one thing I can say about the band, you know, after working with you guys and whatever the case, you know, just being a fan. I mean, I've always been a fan of the group. Mm-hmm. So whenever I get a chance to catch you guys, I definitely want to catch you guys. And, you know, because I appreciate the music. And I, you know, definitely you guys have been doing your thing for a very long time and definitely represent this area very well. So my hat's off to you and the band and everything that you guys have been doing and to bigger and better things for you guys, to, you know, so we'll see what happens as we move forward. Right.
Oh yeah. Wilmington is in our, you know, Wilmington is in our, you know, on our web, you know, nobody, people that know us know that we're from Wilmington.
Yep, said, that's right. Yeah.
Yes, you know, we, yeah. When we went out to, you know, to Soul Train Foods, we let definitely everybody know that, you know, hey, Wilmington's. And it was cool. I mean, it's good to be able to go out there and represent and let people know that, you know, because we're so close to Philly and there was right. so many Philadelphia artists and musicians on the, which we call it, it's cool to be able to say, hey, no, we're, you know, we're down the road, Wilmington, we got some stuff going on and we got a lot of love and we got a lot of love and good feedback and respect from the guys in Philly and everything like that. So,
You know, well, it's funny that you say that because, you know, Delaware is pretty hot with artists right now, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You got some big name artists out there right now. So, you know, so all of a sudden this has become, you know, become a pretty cool place to be from when it comes to the music and artists field, you know. So, so that's good. And especially with you guys out there being one of the people leading the charge, that definitely makes for makes for all the great exposure that Delaware gets as far as musicians go. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, why don't you take a moment to go ahead and tell us what you guys got going on or coming up real soon? And I know you do. Not only are you working with Best Kept Soul, but I know you have your other stuff that you do as well. So you know. So why don't you tell us about anything you got coming up?
Oh man, I'll try to recite some things off the top. This particular week will be on Saturday at a place called Brew River down in Salisbury. I know it's a long trip for anybody that might be up in the Wilmington area, but if you ever get a chance to, they like to get it in down that way. Most first Fridays will be at a place called The Reef up in North Wilmington. Matter of fact, I think Tim's going to be coming there to celebrate his birthday. So, it might be kind of late to get seats because they usually kind of, you know, reserve seats.
Yeah, yeah, they sell out real quick up there, man. Yeah.
But every first Friday, we're usually at the Reef. We're going to be down in Queenstown for just like a weed festival later in the month. So we'll be if you guys follow us on social media like we hope you do, or on our email. Or in our email list, we'll kind of be letting you guys know. This is it's a lot of things. We're going to be in.
I'm sure that'll be packed, I'm sure.
Already got a lot of responses and people asking about tickets about that already. We're going to be at Wilson's later in April as well. If you had guys haven't been there, whether you like us or just live music in general, Wilson's and over in Hinell, New Jersey, is a really cool spot to come to.
Richard Blackwell,
he's in charge now of the town. Yeah. So you'll see, like, you know, he's actually bringing a good number of artists from our area too. So, So the best thing I would say is just to kind of visit our website www.bestkeptsoul.com, or just even more so on social media. We are always posting flyers and everything like that, so you can find us on Facebook under Best Kept Soul. Or on Instagram, Best Kept Soul Band on Instagram as well. And yeah, so we're not trying to hide. Obviously, you know, we've been doing a pretty good job of not hiding over the years. So people usually know better where we're going to be at than sometimes we do.
Yeah, right.
Like, so.
That's the marketing. That's the marketing part, right?
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what, man. That's probably one of the bigger things too is just like the support and people that, like, you know, that know what we're doing and come out and support you over here. I have people that tell me, like, you know, we come to all your shows, we're stalking. No, if you can come over and over again, we welcome everybody every time. We try to keep it fresh each time. It's like, you know, nobody is ever not welcome or never seen too much, man. It's just like, that's part of the band. It's not just, you know, the musicians, the band, what we do.
Right.
It's about people that are around. We're around people that aren't no drama. We never have drama at our events. everybody, you know, because, you know, we have our crowd tends to be a little bit older and everything like that. So nobody's got time for that. People are finished their work days and everything, their work weeks, and they come out to have a good time, you know, good food, good music, and just having, you know, just enjoy themselves. So, you know, there's a bigger part of, you know, why we've been able to do what we have as you know, what we're doing as well, too, you know, as well as us just playing, you know, every week. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's great. And believe me, I know everybody appreciates the band and You know, that's why you always have the great following that you do. So that's cool. That's cool. All right, guys. There you have it. You know, that's the villain right there. You know, for people that know who he is for real, that's the villain right there.
You know? Somebody's gonna be the bad guy.
But we're going to go ahead and get into a few topics that we have with the show tonight. We're going to keep Lamont on and get his input as well. So see what we can talk about tonight. So we're going to start with this particular story, since this has been the big story over the last 24 to 48 hours. So we're going to start with this particular story. I'm going to read a little bit of it. It's FBI raids Diddy's residence in Los Angeles and Miami amid sex trafficking probe. For anybody who hasn't heard about what's going on with Diddy, you must be under a rock. So we'll go from here. Federal agents have raided the homes of Sean Diddy Combs in Los Angeles and his residence in Miami as part of an ongoing sex trafficking investigation. Earlier today, Homeland Security executed law enforcement actions as part of an ongoing investigation with assistance from Homeland Security in Los Angeles and in Miami and other local law enforcement partners. In a statement from CBS News report, it says, we will provide further information as it becomes available. Fox posted a video showing Diddy's sons, Justin and King Combs, in handcuffs near the property. In recent months, Diddy has been linked to multiple sex trafficking allegations, two women level accusations of sexual abuse against the music mogul. As a week following Diddy settled a $30 million lawsuit with Cassie in November last year, in December 2023, another woman accused Combs and two other males of gang rape when she was 17 years old in 2003. Male music producer filed a lawsuit last month alleging that Combs sexually assaulted him. You know, then they said back in November, Combs spoke out about the numerous legal complaints filed against him for allegedly abusing women. Enough is enough. For the last couple of weeks, I have sat silently and watched people try to assassinate my character. That sounds like somebody else. You remember who that sounded like? R. Kelly, remember where R. Kelly did that interview?
Right, I'm fighting for my life.
Right.
Yeah. Destroy my reputation and my legacy. His Instagram post read, sickening allegations have been made against me by individuals looking for quick paydays. Let me be absolutely clear. I did not do any of the awful things being alleged. I will fight for my name, my family, and for the truth. Now, we've been hearing about Diddy for a few months now. And of course, other names have come up. You know, people have distanced themselves from him. He's lost a lot of his endorsement deals. He had to, you know, kind of walk away from Revolt and a couple of other things, Ciroc and all of that stuff. What do you guys feel about what's going on with him?
So, I mean, my quick response is, and Dave, I think we talked about this on a prior show too. Look at all the people coming to Diddy's defense.
None.
So, I mean, that's the only thing that makes it hard. I mean, I can't lie. I have always been a big Diddy fan, but I mean, you know, nobody, not even his sons, you know, his sons have even like kept quiet, but I mean, nobody's come to his defense. So I presume he's guilty of everything they say he did.
Yeah. What do you think, Lamont?
Yeah, I mean, that's like that thing that says, you know, the old cliche, there's smoke, there's fire. So it seems to be quite a bit of smoke coming his way. And it's so funny. I was just talking to somebody about this because of my, like you said, R. Kelly, and it's so funny because, like, as a musician or like you know people who choose songs, like I start wondering, like, are we going to stay away from Diddy songs like we do?
I
found that we had to stay away from R. Kelly songs because now for a while we were trying not to, but a couple times we played and people were just like not feeling it. I mean, it was just so much, built up there that, people were kind of turned off to that vibe. So I don't know if that's going to be how it's going to come down for him too. So I feel bad because it's like a whole, Leonard was saying, I mean, I'm a fan of him. He's got great music or that he's been involved with. And you hate to see that it takes away from, all this other stuff. I mean, I think people that just get certain power just kind of lose their mind a little bit. And it sounds like that's what he did.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy these days because it's easy to get canceled real quick these days. I mean, especially, we had the Me Too movement a few years ago, the whole of Jeffrey Epstein and all the other guys, Cosby got caught up in some mess, again, and even Jamie Foxx was accused of something, so there were a lot of people getting caught up in these things. I was just telling Leonard, even though you didn't believe me, Friday, speaking of Wilmington and all the stuff that's going on, Friday, me and Tim were together, and I don't know if you saw the post, that we were eating in a restaurant, and we're sitting there, and Kevin Spacey is sitting right across from us the whole time. when we finally realized who he was, I mean, he was real personable. He took pictures with people. Me and Tim didn't want to take a picture with him, because, of course, he was one of these guys that was caught up in that stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's the fact that he's sitting there in this diner, just sitting there incognito. We didn't know. If one of the girls who was sitting in the restaurant hadn't noticed who he was, he could have walked out and we would never know who he was. But he was in the restaurant.
Wow.
And I'm sure he probably would have preferred that people hadn't noticed who he was because of everything that he's gone through over the last couple of years. This Diddy thing is going to be big because it's probably going to expose. And it has kind of already thrown some big names around already, but it's probably going to expose some other people as things go down, because I'm sure if Diddy, ends up getting any time or anything, he ain't going to go down without singing. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to go down without singing. So, you think about his history with these artists that he's had and how none of those artists is stepping up for him.
Yeah,
they all distanced themselves from him. It must be a reason for it. So
Diddy or didn't? No, I was...
that's the villain there, people. That's the villain. Okay. All right. But I'm sure that we'll be following this story closely, especially since the raid just happened. And I saw the day that the Suns were leaving the Los Angeles home. I guess they said, we can't deal with this. So they left the home. So, but we'll see what happens as far as that story is concerned. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be following up on it. Mm-hmm. All right, Leonard, I think you got the next story there.
Yeah. So the next story is this is something that happened last weekend. Dave and Lamont, it's another apology to the black people. So there was a Democratic lawmaker who used a racial slur during the House hearing. And of course he claimed I misspoke. So this is right next door to us. Democratic lawmaker in Maryland says he misspoke when using a racial slur during House Budget Committee hearing. Maryland Rep. David Trone, who's running for Senate, uttered the slur while discussing tax policy with Shalonda Young, the first black woman to serve as the director of Office of Budget and Management. So he said...
I didn't even like the way that went when you said her name.
Right. Yep. So his exact words were... So this Republican jigaboo that you know, right, jigaboo. Now, he was, I don't believe he was talking to her because she's a Democrat. But he said, so this Republican jigaboo that you know it's a tax rate that's stopping business investments are completely faulty by people who never run a business. So, of course, after it came out, he issued an apology. He said that he meant to use the word bugaboo. But he accidentally used the word jigaboo. So this is what his apology said. And Lamont, Dave, let me know if you would accept his apology. So he said, "Today, while attempting to use the word bugaboo in a hearing, I misspoke and mistakenly used a phrase that is offensive. Upon learning the meaning of the word," so is he saying he didn't know what it meant when he used it?
Yeah, right. Okay.
"Upon learning the meaning of the word, I was deeply disappointed to have accidentally used it, and I apologize." And then he also said, "It should never be used anytime, anywhere, any conversation. I recognize that as a white man, I have privilege, and as an elected official, I have the responsibility for the words I use, especially in the heat of the moment. Regardless of what I meant to say, that language should have never been used." Would y'all forgive him?
Oh, that speech was written for him.
Which Jigaboo wrote it for him? I mean,
wow.
Who uses bugaboo though? I'm just
that's what I was going to say. Who would say that?
What's bugaboo? That sounds like a kiddie term.
Yeah,
he probably don't know. He probably don't know what the meaning of that is. Does it say how old he is?
So the picture.
He better be younger than 40, because that's
He looks like upper 50, lower 60.
He knew what jigaboo was. He knew exactly what that was. That was not no slip of the tongue. That was what came out was what he wanted to say.
Right.
One thing about Trump is going to say anything that he wants to say. He's not going to be unapologetic about it he's not going to be apologetic about it. He's going to be unapologetic about it. And he's just going to go ahead and say what he wants to say. You know, when you say something like this and then try to retract it, we know what you really meant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no questions about it. We know what you really meant, and it's really a shame that these politicians are able to get away with stuff like this and still be able to keep their jobs as politicians.
Maybe because he's up for election this year, so we will see.
He's Republican, you said?
He's Democrat.
Oh, he's Democrat. Okay, well, that's a whole nother story. Because, I mean, we got the guy running around for president, Mr. Trump, and still trying to figure out how this guy is able to run for president with all the stuff that he's done and said, plus owing $175 million. They didn't lower it. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. We're going to move on. I'm not even going to stay there with that. We're going to move on to some other mess. That's where we're going to go now. I think you guys have heard about this whole thing. 6 Mississippi goon squad officers sentenced to combine 137 years in prison for torturing 2 black men. Last week, Bossop was pleased to report that the 6 Mississippi pigs, as they put it, who tortured 2 black men, Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker, and countless others over the years were finally set to be sentenced to prison. The judge in the case, Tom Lee, took a Noah's Ark 2x2 approach to sentencing, beginning last Tuesday with Hunter Elward and Jeffrey Middleton, who were handed 20 and 17 and a half years respectively. 2 more goon squad members would be sentenced on Wednesday and the final 2 on Thursday. Dragging out the pain and suffering of those malevolent men is a criminal justice chef kiss. According to a news report, 29-year-old Kristen Dedman and 28-year-old Daniel Opdyke both wept in court while receiving their sentences of 40 years and 17 and a half years, respectively. Dedman, whose actions were described by Jenkins as the sickest and the most wicked, verbally apologized to Jenkins for shooting him in the face, but never once looked in his eyes. Opdyke is said to have looked directly at Jenkins and Parker and cried profusely during his apology, saying that being in jail allowed him to realize how I transformed into a monster and became that night. Yeah. Right. 53-year-old Brett McAlpin was sentenced to 27 years in prison, and 32-year-old ex-Richland police officer Joshua Hartfield was handed down 10 years. McAlpin addressed Jenkins and Parker directly. This was all wrong, very wrong. It's not how people should treat each other. And even more so, it's not how law enforcement should treat people, McAlpin said. Though he did not look at the victims as he spoke, I'm really sorry for being a part of something that made law enforcement look so bad. Just so everyone is clear, it took torture, beating, sexual abuse, and a near fatal shooting of two innocent people for these pathetic slabs of bacon to understand their jobs as law enforcement officers and generally general humanity. Prison is too good for these pigs, as they said.
Hold on, Dave. So, Dave, who said that line? I kind of like
was
that. He said slabs of bacon.
But slabs of bacon because they're pigs.
Yeah, yeah, but who said that?
That was said by the judge.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, Dave, if the judge can say it, then we can say it too, if we need to.
Well, I just said it.
Oh, yep, you know, did.
Yeah, I just said it. So, but the fact, let's go back to something though. It said, you know, I was listening, you know, as I read the words of what this McAlpin said, so though we look at victims as he spoke, he wouldn't look at the victims as we spoke, but he said, I'm really sorry for being a part of something that made law enforcement look so bad. He didn't say, you know, he wasn't talking in reference to the victims. He was worried about law enforcement and making them look bad after all that they did. It's unfortunate that we have the situations that we do across the country with law enforcement and what they do. Every time you turn on the TV, you see a video cam of a cop throwing somebody to the ground, using excessive force. They don't care if it's male or female. And you know, and most of the time it's somebody of color.
Right.
Most of the time, you know, and for them to do what they did to these two guys, you know, of course, money doesn't always fix things, but they should give them millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, I mean, because we don't know what kind of condition, they were shot. I mean, all the stuff that was done to them, we don't know what kind of condition they're going to be in for the rest of their lives. You know, they might be maimed for the rest of their lives.
Right.
You know, but this is the world we live in today. I mean, but I'm glad that these guys are going to jail, that these guys didn't get away with it. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
My quick thought is that we just have some strange minute, unfortunately scarred people out there. And I think this is the fact that you put on a police uniform doesn't, you know, take you out of that. It just makes you a police officer with the same screwed up, you know, thought process and prejudice and what have you. So, what he said about the law officers, you know, that's just like you said, it's humanity and, you know, just, you know, humane and just the way people think about other people and the little value that you have for lives and lives of other people. It's just transferred onto, you know, people who, you know, unfortunately put the uniform on and just happen to have a little bit more authority, but they're no better than anybody else.
That's true. That's true. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I mean, I have friends that are cops. I've known cops for years. I think it's the way, and I hate to say this, the old school cops were just different. You know, they connected with community. They didn't care what you look like. A lot of them used to walk the beat, you know, and be in your neighborhoods and so forth. These new guys, man, they're a whole different breed, you know.
And I'm thinking they really are. Get away with certain things too, like, and you know, I guess they feel they might have that same immunity as well too. So
yeah. I mean, I understand they have to deal with walking out in the street and with the potential of being shot at any moment, or dealing with somebody crazy any moment. I get that and so forth, but it's still a certain decorum that you have to have when dealing with people. And especially today, because we have so many people that have mental issues and, you know, different types of medical issues going on. And you just have to be careful on how you deal with them in a certain way. You know, I mean, you know, you might mistake somebody who may not be able to hear, and they don't listen, and they're not listening to what you're saying to them, and you beat them up because you think they're being obstinate when they can't hear you. You know what I'm saying? So those type of things happen. But thank God there was some type of justice.
Definitely.
You know, yeah, for these people. And hopefully there'll be some kind of retribution as well. So, all right. Okay. That'll bring us to our last and final part of the show, which is Leonard's favorite part of the show. He hates to admit this, Lamont, but this is his favorite part of the show, which is called Dave's Corner, where I usually ask a question, philosophical question. He's sweating bullets over here. You know, I made this question kind of music friendly. You know, he's not that big of a music guy anyway. But with in honor of you being on the show, this is the question. I said, you want to start a band. I think you've done this before. You know, you want to start a band. you could choose from any well-known celebrity musician, dead or alive. You can, you know, this could be your dream band, okay? You have to have a keyboard player, a drummer, a lead guitar player, bass player, and a female and male lead, okay? I'm gonna start with Leonard first. Because I know he ain't ready. That's why I'm saying I'm gonna start with Leonard first. Leonard,
so
give me your band.
So Dave, I'm always ready, okay?
Okay, all right, here we go. All right,
so this is gonna be my band. One of the best bands ever.
Okay, go instrument by instrument. Okay.
So on keyboard, I'm gonna have Stevie Wonder.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Look at him coming out with the big boy guitar out. Okay. All right.
On drums, I'm gonna have Sheila E.
Wow. Okay. All right.
See, Lamont, Dave gave me all the time I need to do my research.
Okay. All right.
On lead guitar, I'm going to have none other but our brother, Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, okay. All right.
On bass guitar, I'm going to have the legend, B.B. King.
He didn't play bass.
It's a bass guitar, yeah. He missed my instructions earlier, Dave.
Lamont, school him. School him, Lamont.
Okay, anyway, go ahead. We'll let you have that one, but go ahead.
All right. Then on female lead, I'm going to have the lovely Alicia Keys.
Alicia Keys?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Have you heard of her? She's pretty popular.
I think I've heard of her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then for my male lead, I'm going to give another. I mean, sorry. Damn, how you say it? Is none other than the iconic Luther Vandross. Big Luther. Big
okay.
Luther.
Okay, Big Luther. Okay, all right. Big Luther. Okay. All right. Okay. That's an interesting band.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we got Leonard. Okay. All right. What you got, Lamont?
Wow. I didn't think about everyone, but I mean, because I was looking at, like, if it was just one individual. All right, mine's going to be a little eclectic. Keyboards, I would go with Bernie Worrell. If you don't know him, he was the keyboard player for Parliament Funkadelic.
I do know of him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So he was, like, really innovative as far as sounds, and he covered bass if needed to it as well.
Yeah, you knew when he was on keys. Yeah, you definitely did.
Wow, drummer. That's a shame. I don't know his name, but the drummer for actually I saw him a couple years back. Ohio Players. The drummer for
okay.
So if you ever listen to the Ohio Players, some of their songs, the drummer really made an impact. He actually still with the band. He was like he's got some like thing about where he's like one of the best drummers of all time. And, so yeah, I would go with him.
Was Lamont? Was that Jimmy Sampson?
For Ohio Players.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm sorry. I brought it up real quick, so I was trying to bring up the name, but four different drummers came up.
Oh, he was like the original drummer.
James Williams.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. I just always loved his drumming for them. Lead guitar. I'll make it real easy, simple. Prince. Bass player, man, there's so many out there. But I'll tell you what, the guy that plays for Luther Vandross, what is his name? Marcus Miller.
Oh, Marcus Miller, yeah. Okay, all right, yeah.
Female singer, easy. I mean, it's a lot of them I can choose from, but I'll make it simple, Whitney Houston.
Okay.
For male singer, I'm going to throw a curve at you. I'm going to make it David Ruffin.
Who?
Wow. Okay. I like that, though. All right. Okay. That's pretty eclectic. Yeah, that's definitely eclectic. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to give you my list.
All right, David.
And some of these, you know, we've heard a name, a couple of these names already, but I'm going to probably put them in different places. My keyboard player would be Alicia Keys.
Okay.
That's where I'm going with her. I'm going to put her on keys. So my drummer, which I'm surprised neither one of you took, Questlove from The Roots.
So.
Yeah, definitely. My lead guitar player, I'm going to go a little bit different because I knew somebody was going to say Prince. I'm going to go with the female version of her that we got out there right now. And her name just happened to be her. You know, so I'm going to go with her. Bass guitar player. And you mentioned, it's funny because you mentioned these guys earlier, but I'm going to go with George Johnson of the Brothers Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been going between him and Bootsy.
Louis Johnson.
I'm going to go with George. Huh?
Louis Johnson. Louis played bass. George played lead guitar.
I mean, Louis. Yes, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, I got it back.
I told you that was one of the inspirations for me when I learned bass back in the day. So
when you mentioned it earlier, I started laughing because I already wrote mine down. So, female lead, and I thought both. I had to make sure that my leads kind of meshed together. So, female lead. And because I know she's a lot like the lead singer of Best Kept Soul, Miss Ann Latrice, you know, that likes to interact with the audience and, you know, get people riled up and whatever. I'm going with Jill Scott. That's my female lead. And my male lead, I got to go with Leonard's guy, Mr. Luther Vandross. I'm going to go with Skinny Luther because we got Jill, you know. I'm going to go with Skinny there. So I'm going to go with Skinny Luther. So so that would be my group right there. I think that would be pretty nice. I think all of them would be, you would have an audience for all three of the groups, I think, you know. So I think you would have an audience, you know. I think mine would be the party audience. But, anyway,
you know, mine's definitely funk.
Yeah, you definitely got funk going on over there. Yeah, you definitely do. So, Leonard, you just got music. So, but there you have it, folks. Lamont, why don't you one more time tell everybody how they can find you on your social media pages and everything. And, you know, you want to talk about what's immediately coming up again, you can, you know, before we sign off.
Yeah, so for everybody in Lower Delaware, Maryland area, we'll be at Salisbury Brew River. If you've ever been there, it's a fun time. I would say be ready for the reef a week from Friday, but then good chance you might not get a seat, but no, just go ahead and call, get on the waiting list. You might have a chance to get in there on the reef the first Friday. If not, get ready for the first Friday in May. So just go ahead and call ahead of time. Check out our web social, our best up-to-date place is social media page. So go on Facebook and look for Best Kept Soul, our band page, or Instagram, Best Kept Soul Band. And then for, you know, if you just want to go to our website, www.bestkeptsoul.com, we try to keep that updated as well. So everything, things is always changing. We're always posting. Like I said, just, you know, keep track of us and, you know, we'll let you know where we're at.
All right. That's cool. We definitely both want to take the time to, and say thank you for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
You know, I know, like I said, it's been a year in the making, but we finally got him, folks. And, you know, but we're glad that he took the time to hang out with us. And shout out to all of the Best Kept Soul band. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking to your leads at some point sooner or later.
They're not bashful about being in front of people, so yeah.
Yeah, we know. Well, at least one of them. Not. I know Ann got a lot to say. Now, Dwayne, you know, he has his moments, so but I'm sure we'll be talking to them soon. So, but that's our show for tonight. Lynn, you got anything you want to say before we sign off?
Nah, you know, I just want to wish everybody a great week.
Okay. Look, Lynn is like Russell Simmons. Remember Russell Simmons back in the day? You know, thank you, everybody. Good night. You know, that's what he was doing.
I don't know. Russell Simmons, I heard, got in some trouble too, so I don't know what I'm going to
compare. Oh, yeah.
Russell moved out of the country because of that trouble. That's,
right. Dave, don't compare me to Russell Simmons no more, okay? No, Russell, no Diddy, no,
no R. Kelly.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
All
right.
No, Jesse Smollett.
Okay. All right. I'll keep that in mind, sir. Even though you do kind of look like him.
No.
So, anyway, but, thank you, folks, for taking the time to listen to News and Trends. We always appreciate, of course, you can always check us out on all the channels and everything. So we'll be looking to talk to you again soon, and have a good night.
Join us next week for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.